Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.
You're listening to the Voices of the Vic podcast with Ben Ayton and Mike Duffy. This episode contains some strong language.
Hello and welcome to the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy, Ben Ayton and James from the Watford Way. Usually I like to ease the guests in that we have on, but for the first time ever, if you're listening to this as an audio podcast, the visual is going out on YouTube, so you get to see our wonderful faces, my slightly hungover face as well. Let's mix it up. I usually start with Ben, but James, let's mix it up. How's your week been? And how are you, buddy? You good?
Yeah, I'm a very, very happy man, Mike. Obviously, my week's been absolutely fantastic. Watford back in the Premier League. I'm still kind of on that high after that Millwall game. So yeah, really, really happy. I've had a really nice week actually as well. The weather's warmed up a little bit too. So yeah, really, 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 really nice week. What about you, mate?
Good stuff. Yeah. It's been a long week. I've not been feeling great, to be honest. I developed a little bit of a sore throat and I was hoping that it wasn't the old coronavirus, but it is. I haven't got any of them symptoms, luckily. But I had a few drinks as per on Saturday, Saturday evening. And then I had the delight of having to play football today. Now, I know, Ben, I know you actually, someone tweeted us, was it? I think James Hurst tweeted us.
Yeah.
Saying, I'm sure he did all right. For those that want to know, we lost 3-1. However, I only played the first half and it was 1-1 at half time. I don't know what I've done. I must have slept funny, but my upper back was in absolute bits. So I could only play a half today. Obviously I was struggling from last night as well, feeling a bit rough. And I drew the short straw. We didn't have a ref, so I had to ref the second half. So yeah, I've not refereed for 7 years, so that was quite entertaining. But yeah, all good from my side. I've got a week off work now, so absolutely buzzing. Can't wait to do absolutely sod all. Although we are doing a podcast on Thursday, which I'm sure me and Ben will talk about later this week. Talking to Ben, last but not least, how's your week been, Ben? You been good, mate?
Yeah, all good, mate. No complaints. Enjoying life. Just spending time with a family. Went round the mother-in-law's house today and just had a massive roast dinner. It feels like Christmas every time I go around there. The plate is just piled to the ceiling. I would stand up and show you my belly, mate, but I think I might break the laptop. So we'll leave that for another day. But yeah, no complaints for me, mate. Like James said, the weather's slightly getting a bit better now. Restrictions are easing even more. I think there's another announcement tomorrow where Boris Johnson has even said that we might be able to hug people from May the 17th. So, yeah, Duffy, I'm coming for you, mate.
Yeah, mate. They are wonderful times. Like, it's mad to think not long ago, football weren't great, to be honest. You know, we were still in lockdown and it can really bog you down. Fast forward a few months, weeks, whatever. Watford are back in the Premier League. Restrictions are lifted. As you said, there's an announcement due tomorrow on Monday the 10th. Obviously, the 17th, which is the week after, you can sit indoors at restaurants, rule of six. And I'm sure there's other restrictions that are lifted as well. And then there's not long now till June the 21st, when they hope all restrictions are going to be completely gotten rid of. So yeah, there's some really, really good times. I must say as well, before I forget, you guys probably saw it on social media, but I got a very, very nice package in the post from Ben, who's asked me to be one of his groomsmen as well. So that really made my week last week. So I celebrated in style with that glass that you got me, Ben. So yeah, your story made me laugh on Instagram. Mike Duffy was celebrating. Yeah.
there was only way you was going to celebrate that by having a pint that night in the personalised glass that he got you. I think it was a massive tanker, wasn't it? Quite a heavy one as well.
Yeah, it was heavy.
Like I said to you personally as well, I couldn't imagine a wedding day without you, and me and my missus want you to be involved. And pretty much, I speak to you every single day. I speak to you more times than her half the time. So you kind of had to get an invite to be a groomsman. So yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Not long now, though. We were actually due to get married next month, but because of COVID and that, we've had to put it back a year, which is annoying, but it's given us more time to save and pay for it. So no complaints from me on that side as well.
No, definitely not. And you know, I'm sure of us that are probably had weddings planned, I'm sure they're grateful as well for that. But yeah, no, it's wicked, but I can't wait for it next year. So yeah, buzzing for that. Also buzzing to talk about a Watford win. Now, me and Ben had to sort of drag ourselves onto a podcast the other week to talk about the Brentford game with Tom Wicks from the Golden Pages. Unfortunately, we couldn't speak about a victory, but it wasn't really that much. It didn't bother me that much. I know that sounds terrible because it's Watford and we always want to win in that. But going into this one, I think Ben, me and you sort of, we do the predictions for the team on the FanHub app. And I think we sort of said we were expecting changes. I wasn't quite expecting the changes that he did make, though. There were six in total, and I'll just run through them. So Foster for Backman, Navarro, Lazar, Sanchez, Zinchenko and Successi. And then it was CRL to Messina, Cleverly Hughes and Hungbo out. Now, that means that the team was Foster, Navarro, Cabaselli, Cathcart, Lazar, Sanchez, Gosling, Zinchenko, Success, Gray and Semmer. Now, I'm all for ringing the changes, but did that even surprise you for a last game of the season, Ben?
Well, I must say we both got it terribly wrong on our prediction on the fan. I'm not sure how many I actually got right that week. But yeah, it was. I know it's the end of a season now, and I don't mind making changes, but I would have liked maybe seeing a few younger players being involved and getting the opportunity. Like we saw Humbo getting a start at Brentford. We saw Pochettino coming off the bench as well. So I would have liked maybe Cucho, the young striker, with the Dutch striker we've got, who's banging in the goals for the under-23. I know we've got Troy Deeney coming back as well, but it would be nice for him to at least get a bench appearance and just be involved with the first team. I would have wanted to see that. But and what does Ben Wilmot have to do to get a start in this?
I think there's something more to it with that. There's got to be. They really have.
I just don't really get it. But yeah, there was, yeah, just loads of changes, and wasn't expecting the changes that were made to be the ones that were made. I wanted to see younger players.
Would you expect Foster to get a game, considering next season now? I would imagine that Backman's, he's cemented his place as number one. I would imagine that maybe they will even change his shirt number to number one next season as well. But would you expect him, Foster, to get a game because it was last game of the season, nothing to play for? Or did you think Backman was going to stick in?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting him to get a game at all. No, I was fully expecting Backman to carry on playing in goal. Or if we had a younger keeper to give him the experience, or maybe I would have wanted him to come back in. But yeah, I was a bit surprised with Ben Foster. It's not like it was his last game. His contract was up. He's still got another year at the club, hasn't he? And in my mind, I was still thinking of that defensive record, which I mentioned last week, that we needed to try and get an equal and get in the record books. So I didn't really want too much changes at the bat, but Sisco did what he wanted. And it's fair play. It paid off for him.
Yeah, I don't know how. James, was you expecting to see more youngsters in that squad yesterday for Watford?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, the main issue, with all the positives that are coming this season, there's been so, so many positives. You know, Zisco coming in, he's done a great, great job. But I think for me, the one sticking point is Ben Wilmot and the way he's been used, especially under Zisco. Because actually, if you go back to Vladimir Ivic, he was being used quite frequently because of the formation that Ivic played in that back five. And Zisco's come in, he played a little bit at the start, but really since that Sirielta and Schusterkamp partnership was formed, fair play to them that they're fantastic defenders. So it is difficult for them to get in there. But you would think that these last two games, with nothing to play for, he should have been given two starts. And yeah, there is obviously an issue there. And actually, I don't know if both of you picked up on it, but actually on Ben Wilmot's Twitter account, he's been liking tweets from supporters, kind of like about how he's not been used. So it's very, very interesting to see. So yeah, there's definitely a bigger issue there, I think.
I saw him reply to a fan last week or the week before saying, they asked him why is he not getting in the team, and he was like, I don't know, I'm just going into training and working hard, and it's up to the manager if he wants to play me or not. And it's like, you don't normally see players respond like that, but mm-hmm. I think he's trying to make the fans know that he is committed to his team and he's doing everything he can. It's just, it's out of his hands, and hopefully his opportunity comes sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. It is good to see that he is being like that, because so a lot of players would just turn around and say, I don't know, like, I'm training, don't know why I'm not getting in. And it could seem a bit of a rift. I mean, you know, Wilmot's not the only one that can't get a look in. Obviously, Parica as well. He struggled, but we know he's had injuries, so that's probably played a part, but still a bit of a similar case. So, yeah, it was a little bit disappointing not to see Wilmot start. Great to see Cabaselli start, though, alongside Craig Cathcart. Yeah, back-to-back games. Alongside Craig Cathcart, who's been absolutely superb. I think it was the Brentford game was his 100th appearance for the club. I think 200. I was going to say 100 sounds a little bit too.
Yeah. He's been in donkeys years.
Yeah. And he's had loan spells as well. So he's 200th, is what I meant. Thanks for pointing that out, Beth. Congratulations to Craig Cathcart on that. He's just quickly on Craig Cathcart, Ben. Like, he's been a bit part player this season, but when he's come in, he's been absolutely superb, hasn't he?
You can't fault him. When people start writing him off, like fans writing him off, look, he's not first choice, is he? But he's ready for whenever he's called upon, and he's just been outstanding. And he's that level-headed guy. Like, you never see Craig Cathcart doing anything rash in defence, do you? He's very calm and collective, and you can always rely on him. And I think he's quite similar to what we've had with Adrian Mariappa. Like, when he's not first choice, but when he comes into a side, he gives his absolute all for the cause. If he plays, he can. You put him to right back, he'll do the job. He's not going to complain. He'll get on with it. And then he gets put back into the centre, and he's fantastic, and you can't fault him. And you've got to think, like, he's had over 200 appearances for Watford, but think of how many appearances he's had for Northern Ireland as well. That just shows the quality of him as well, because
he gets in that squad as well.
Yeah,
he gets in that Northern Ireland squad as well. Sorry to cut you up there, Ben. Even when he's not playing. So the vast experience that he's got there is absolutely superb. And yeah, I'd like to see him. I don't know. I probably should have looked this up before the show. James, you're usually good with this sort of stuff. How long he's got on his contract? Is he out of contract in the summer? Do we know what?
Should I do a quick Google search to see how long he's got left while I'm on my computer? Because I do think it's good that we've got players like Craig Cathcart at the club. Troy Deeney, goes into that mould as well, where they were here the last time he got promoted. Yeah. And I think too many of them players can sometimes be an issue, but having a couple of them in the squad is definitely a positive. I'm just getting the information up now.
I think as well, just whilst you're doing that, I think as well, something that not one or two players say, every player says about Craig Cathcart is he's a joker behind the scenes. Yeah. Doesn't do any interviews. You won't see him on Sky, you won't see him on Hive Live. I've not got a problem with that. Some players just don't like doing it. But
he's a quality dancer as well. Did you see that through him in the Watford YouTube?
But that's the sort of thing I mean. Like, all the players say, oh, he's a joker, he's one of the funniest guys, got a dry sense of humour, the Irish tend to do anyway. But that clip alone, you sort of saw what sort of character he is and what that would bring to the dressing room and his experience. You got the answer for me there, Joe?
Yeah, I've got the answer for you. Contracted until June 2023, so he's got 2 years left in his contract.
Happy days.
Quite a long contract still then.
That is a long contract, yeah. I'll take that though. Listen, if he can be a bit part player next season, I'm not expecting him to start every game. He's got experience in the league, hasn't he? So he's done it before. We got a little bit off topic, as we usually do on Voices of the Week. But Swansea, I think, I've obviously not been watching Swansea all season, but from the looks of it, they named a full-strength side. I mean, Andrew Ayew was playing, Jamal Lowe was playing. Not that they changed their goalkeeper, because I think he's won Golden Glove or whatever they call it. But they pretty much had a full-strength side out. So I'll be honest, when I put that tweet out asking for score predictions, as we do, some of the responses we got were like 3-0 Swansea, 6-0 Swansea. If Swansea don't beat us here, there's something wrong. And to be honest, I'll hold my hands up. I thought, OK, this could be quite a tough watch. It really could. But it was 4 minutes before we had our first chance, and it was come down that same left-hand side. Ken Semmer, by the way, the energy, how he finds all this energy to play the amount of games. Cisco rotate the whole bloody squad. He made 6 changes, and poor Ken Semmer still had to play. So I did feel a bit sorry for him. But, yeah, 4 minutes on the clock, usual Ken Semmer rule, puts it in the box, and Zinchenko puts it just wide. Am I being a bit harsh, James? Do you think Zinchenko should have put that one on target?
I thought the ball came at him quite quickly. Looking at it in hindsight, it doesn't actually matter, the result of the game. Should he have done better? Probably. But also, I think in the case of Philip Zinchenko, in recent weeks, he's not actually been playing that much football. So I think in terms of match sharpness, that might also be an issue there for him. But I think he did as well as he could. On another day, it might have gone in. But no, I think he did. I think he did quite well with that opportunity.
And Ben, I mentioned there, obviously, Swansea, you expect them to name a strong side. They want to gain as much momentum as they can going into the playoffs. I think they've got Barnsley in the playoffs now, it's been confirmed. And I think they're next week. I can't wait to watch them as a neutral, by the way, and not have to stress about our team being in there. But we expected them to come to us with that weaker side and cause havoc. 7 minutes on the clock, Andrew Ayew had a chance. Foster saved brilliantly. But after that, Ben, I thought we kept them at bay with that 6 change sides that we put out against a full strength Swansea side.
Just want to say quickly, anyone else concerned about the firing streamers at the start? I thought Vic would drive
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought they're not going to get this off the pitch.
I thought if that paper goes into the fire, that's it. That's Vicarage Road gone. And then that's problem solved for part of it. We could use the pushing, but maybe that was a plan deep down or something. But 7 minutes in, Ayew spun Cathcart really easily. I think Cathcart was possibly a bit too close to him. And he just got away from really quickly. And the shot was straight at Foster. I think it came off his chest. Yeah. Went behind for a corner. But yeah, I was expecting more from Swansea. I was a little disappointed considering Watford put out. Would you say Watford's B side? We weren't fully strength. We had our best player pretty much out, Ismail Assar, who causes havoc for all the left backs in the championship. And we didn't really have much of a threat going forward.
Or at the back.
And Swansea just, I felt watching them, I felt like they were on the beach. And I said that I felt Watford were on the beach last week against Brentford because it was done and dusted. I felt like Swansea was like, we've got a playoff position. What I didn't get was, why risk playing Ayew? Ayew was heavily strapped up. His thigh or hamstring was heavily taped up. He went down about 5 minutes after a chance as well. And it's like, why risk him in a nothing game when you got the playoffs coming up? But to be fair, I can't stand Ayew either. So he could get picked an injury. I don't really care.
Yeah. If they play like that in the playoffs, then, you know,
they're not going up.
They won't go up. You know, you look at Barnsley, and one thing I've been impressed with Barnsley this season, and I think their first goal against Norwich at the weekend. I didn't watch the game. I watched the Soccer Saturday, and they show the goals and everything. And the Barnsley first goal for them was typical Barnsley all season. High press. Norwich lost the ball, and then they went and scored. Barnsley are known for that high press since their new guys come in. They play like that against Swansea, they're going to rip to shreds. They really, really are. And as you said, Ben, I expected Swansea to come to Vicarage Road, think, right, Watford are on the beach, they've made 6 changes, it's a weakened side, we've got to go and bring the game to them. And for whatever reason, I'll take it, but that didn't happen. Ayew had that chance, obviously, that I've just mentioned there, James. 20 minutes on the clock, and Grimes had a chance at the edge of the box, and Foster produced a routine save, I think you'd call it. But were you also surprised that Swansea perhaps didn't sort of go all guns blazing, considering the amount of changes that we made?
Yeah, I think for Swansea, I think, you know, if I was them, if I was in their position, which we nearly could have been, you know, the points total, you know, between us, isn't that great. So we could have easily been in their position. But I think for them, you know, I would have been wanting to go into the playoffs, you know, with a lot of morale and, you know, with a win. And, you know, I was surprised by the way they performed, actually. And you know, if I was Swansea going into the playoffs, I'd be quite concerned that, you know, maybe that they won't get through that first semi-final. So, yeah, I was really, really shocked and actually really, really delighted with the way we performed, considering the number of changes we made.
And I don't know if we can judge it off one game, but do you think maybe the way that we played with a second string side maybe illustrates the squad depth that we've got at the moment, James? Or do you think it was a case of we played our second string side, we've played one game and we've won, let's not get ahead of ourselves? Or do you think it is squad depth?
Well, we say tough squad one to depth, judge, though, yeah, we say squad depth, but a lot of the players you played today have been heavily criticised by all of us. You know, the likes of Lazar, yeah. Gray, Sema.
I don't know what you're on about, James.
Not on this podcast. Yeah,
you could say it's squad depth. I would just say that these are probably players who wanted to prove that they deserve to stay in the squad going into the Premier League. Because, you know, throughout this season, if these players had been performing how they should have been, they wouldn't have been rotated into this B side, if you will. So, yeah, it was a positive they performed so well. But I wouldn't necessarily say we've got a squad full of loads of fantastic players. I would just say these are players who, some of them coming towards the end of their contracts, like Lazar, who maybe had something to prove to the owners to earn a new deal.
Well, I just want to...
Like yesterday was, it looked like these players who was thrown in, it was like they was playing for a contract or they was playing for a move elsewhere, and they kind of had to put themselves in the shop window because, my God, Lazar was totally different. He was 10 times better, 100 times better than what he was at Luton. He was dreadful at Luton. And yesterday, he was outstanding. I think he was man of the match yesterday. I'll say that. He was outstanding. He was getting stuck in. He looked comfortable on the ball. And I've not seen that this season from Lazar. I just feel like he's a bit too excited when he's on the ball. I've described him being like a bit of a puppy when you release him into a park before, haven't I? But yeah, he was absolutely solid yesterday. He even had an opportunity where he could have scored later in the second half. And I felt like if we saw that in all the other performances, I would have wanted him to stay at the end of the season.
Well, you answered, your telepathic mind reading is on point tonight, Ben, because I was literally going to say, off the back of James's point where were certain players playing for new contracts, from what I understand, and I think the Athletic have already picked up on this, is Lazar has already been told that he's not going to be have his contract extended. So it could have been very easy for Lazar to go out there and put in a half-assed performance. I'm leaving. It's been all right. I've made a handful of appearances. It's not that big of a deal, but he did the complete opposite of you, as you've said. And, you know, could he have got a goal for his superb performance? Yeah, probably. But, you know, you're up against a keeper who, just like Freddie Woodman, who's, you know, he's got the most clean sheets in the division for a reason. So on another day, that would have gone in and it would have been a spectacular goal. And, you know, it makes you laugh because I remember speaking to a Brentford podcast about Andre Gray saying, you give him X amount of chances, but he'll only score so many. And it reminds Lazar loves a long-range shot, so one of them was bound to go in, and unfortunately, that was the closest he got yesterday. But I completely agree with that Lazar comment, and I think a lot of other people have. Now, we did actually go into the break 0-0 at half-time. Surprised a lot of us. I'll be honest, it surprised me, you know, considering the starting 11 that we put out. And I'll just run you through the stats. It was 49% possession, 49.2% possession, sorry, for Watford, 50.8 for Swansea, 8 shots, 2 on target for Swansea, 6 shots for Watford, 0 on target, 4 corners to Swansea, 1 to Watford. And then the passes was quite close, 229 for Swansea and 226 for Watford. Now, James, I never for 1 minute would ever want us to think, right, let's go for a draw here. But what was your mindset going into that second half, considering, I know I keep going over the point, but considering the difference in strength for the two teams, was you thinking, okay, maybe we can just hold them to a point here, 0-0, as Ben said at the start of the podcast, really defend that defensive record, which you managed to equal? Or did you think, sod it, man, why not? Let's try and go for it.
I was thinking, sod it, let's go for it. Like, you know, I was going into the game, you know, I was probably, I mean, I've said this for so many fixtures this season, but I was probably the most relaxed watching that game than I have for any of the other fixtures this season, like, even that Brentford game. So look, I wasn't too fussed of the result at all. Obviously, I would love a Watford win. But, you know, I just wanted to see players get a run out, see what they could offer us. Ideally, I wanted Ben Wilmot to get some more minutes than he did. But, yeah, I wanted us to go for it. And yeah, ultimately, we did get the win through two quite unlikely scorers, I'd say. So, yeah, I was, I was really looking forward to the second half. And, you know, the last 45 minutes of Watford's football until August. So I was kind of a bit devastated as well that would not be, we wouldn't be watching Watford until, you know, until the new Premier League season.
Yeah, and I think that was a message throughout the stadium. Trust, sod it, let's go for it. And tell you what a week it's been for the Andre Gray household. Firstly, I just want to say massive congratulations to him and Leanne from Little Mix for and the announcement that Leanne is pregnant. And there's been another one in the squad as well, with Tom Cleverley. I believe his missus is expecting twins, I believe it is. So I think I did a little bit of maths on that one. I was umming and ahhing whether to try and whether to tell this story on the podcast, but when I was telling Ben in the week at work, and I was like, I've traced it back, and it's Valentine's weekend, and he goes, no, it's 9 months. So 9 months from when it was announced, 9 months before was Christmas Day. So, yeah, it looks like it was a good Christmas in the Cleverley household. Let's put it that way.
Did you say about it, though, Mike?
Well, we won't go into that.
What was it? It was something along the lines of, well, all season we've hyped about Cleverley's work rate, so I'm not surprised he's having kids.
Yeah, Sonny along the similar lines, man. He puts a shift in on and off the pitch, it would seem. It's good news for obviously Gray and Cleverley there. But Gray got his fifth goal of the season. I think it was the ball coming from Semmer. I think it was. It was Messina, wasn't it? Was it Messina? No,
Semmer.
Messina started the run.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. Are you sure? No, okay.
It was a long ball up the top, and Andre Gray, he went to help hold the ball up, and he backheeled it into a pass for Goslin. Yeah. And Goslin, he found Ken Semmer and Acre a space down at the left-hand side. He got out his feet, and what a magnificent ball across the box. Defenders couldn't get onto the end of it, and there was Andre Gray sprinting from where he backheeled it. He didn't stop sprinting, got into
Bust the
box.
Bust the gut to get in there, didn't he?
Absolutely busted a gut and beat the defender, and there he was in the right place at the right time to head it home, and it was perfect icing on the cake for him, really, to announce that he's having his first child during the week and then to score that. I must say, though, remember 4 weeks ago, Luton away, we did the podcast and Gray scored that disallowed goal in the last minute, and we was having a discussion. You said Pedro would get to 10 goals, and I said, I bet you this, Andre Gray will score again until from now to the end of the season. He delivered yesterday, so I should put a bet on it.
You should have done. Someone talking of putting a bet on, I should have saved the tweet so I could shout them out. But there was a tweet that I saw just before we started recording tonight, and somebody put 50p on Isaac's success to score any time. I mean, they only won £2.50, but that is very good going. So if you're listening to this and it was you, fair play to you, and I'll give you a shout out next time. I don't like saying this because he scored a fifth goal of the season, and you know, I'm not slagging him off here, but it wasn't a sort of clean strike, and it never really is with Andre, other than I think Birmingham and maybe his two against Wickham earlier in the season. But you have to be in the right time at the right place if you're a striker, and he has done that, to be fair to him. I think, do you know, I think since that interview we did with, was it Richard Walker? I think he's definitely sort of progressed a little bit, and I'll probably get absolutely hammered for this, but he's reminding me a little bit of the Andre Gray that we used to see come off the bench in the season we got to the FA Cup final in 18-19 season, because he plays his part. He scored a few goals. You know, he put the sword through Birmingham City 3-0, won us a game against Wickham at home. And look, you know, I, as I say, I was watching Soccer Saturday, and I was watching with my mate, and when they said Watford have scored, and he'd come up with Andre Gray, I says, I bet you any money now, he's either A, mishit it, he's not hit it cleanly, or it's hit off his backside and it's gone in, and I was close. But I'm delighted for him. I'll hold my hands up, and I'm sure Ben will do the same. I'm not saying I've always rated him. I've had harsh words to say about him in previous podcasts, but he's impressed me the last few weeks. He really, really has. I know there's still plenty of Watford fans out there that aren't, he's, you know, not fans of him whatsoever. And listen, you're entitled to your opinions and that, but I must say I'm impressed. Is there anything you want to add on that, Ben? Is that something you agree with? I see you nodding there.
Yeah, no, we've spoke about him at length in the last couple of podcasts. I've said that since that interview with Richard Walker, I feel like there's a weight lifted off his shoulders and he's playing with a bit more freedom. And Watford fans can actually see him putting in a little bit more effort. Maybe he's given an extra 10% more, and that extra 10% is actually shown in games now. His work rate off the ball and his positioning, you can't fault it. You can never fault it for Andre Gray. It's what he does with the ball is the issue. And since that interview with Richard Walker, he has improved. I think he scored like 4 goals since then. And he, like you said, he won us a game against Wickham. He scored yesterday to get the ball rolling for us. And I'm delighted for him. Yes, we've both put our hands up and said that we weren't his greatest of fans. But you've credit where credit's due. And Andre Gray deserves credit at the moment. He's been really good, probably for the last 10 weeks now, I'd say.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I've talked about, obviously, me and Ben have sort of said in the past, we don't ever say hoping a player never improves. We wouldn't ever want that. We say it because that's what is going on at the time. And Andre Gray, we always want people to prove us wrong. You know, I got a bit of stick from one of our listeners, John Parslow, saying that I should hang my head in shame because Ben put out the league table predictions that me and him did at the start of the season. Had us to finish 4th. I said, John, I'm more than happy to be proved wrong on these sort of things. So shame goes for any time we criticise any players.
I did it right, mate, didn't I? I got I'll the top 2 right, and I got the 3 clubs to be relegated right as well.
Yeah, I must say as well, I don't mean to go off on a tangent, but it just highlights the season that Barnes have had. We both had them just escaping relegation or just outside the relegation places.
No one needs to know that, mate.
I had Derby 5th and they stayed up on the last day because Rotherham bloody drew. So yeah, that's as far as my predicting goes for next season. I won't be doing one for next season, let's put it that way. But yeah, so he obviously got the ball rolling 1-0. We was like, wow, okay, we beat this strong Swansea side, 1-0, happy days, let's see if we can build any. James, for me, when we went 1-0 up, the only thing in my mind was, let's keep a clean sheet. Is that what you were thinking as well?
No, I wasn't. I know you guys are obsessed
James, come
with
on, man.
I know you've got this like defensive, best defensive record in the Championship thing like stuck in your mind, but you know, I to be honest, I wasn't really too bothered. You know, I think for the players, I think, you know, for their personal records, I'm sure they probably wanted that. But for me, I just wanted more goals. I wasn't too bothered at all. And yeah, we went on to them 2 substitutions not too long after that, didn't we?
Yeah, those substitutions that you're on about 65th minute. We had João Pedro coming on for Carlos Sanchez, and then we had Will Hughes coming on for Zinchenko, and then 72 minutes on the clock, the skip out was back. Troy Deeney was on for Andre Gray. Although it was only 72 minutes, he only got a little bit of a run out. Was it good to see him back, Ben?
Yeah, he entered the field with a massive grin on his face. I don't know if it was a joke between him and the 4th official or something, but he looked happy to be back on the pitch. Troy's a Watford legend, so it's always great to see him back on the pitch and that just 20 minutes to try and get into his legs and hopefully a full pre-season this season is going to help him. We might see him come back and play the best football again that we've seen from Troy Deeney before, because I don't know if you've all seen about it with the WD18 interview that he had with the boys. Fantastic interview. Go check it out. not many fans knew this until he actually gave them the exclusive that Troy Deeney was really suffering with COVID and he was in hospital, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think.
he was pissing blood at one point, he was saying. And his body was riddled, his kidneys was fucked as well, and he got a lot of stick last season, and it just shows that fans don't really know everything that's going on behind closed doors and that. And we need to probably, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Like, you see a bad performance, you're straight on their back. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he delivering? He's been paid X amount. Why isn't he giving it all? But sometimes it goes a bit deeper than that, doesn't it? And we need to maybe take a step back sometimes and be like, why aren't we seeing the best of Troy Deeney? There must be a reason. He always gives his all for the club. Yes, he was giving his all for his club, but the performances weren't there. Why aren't the performances there? And that's probably why. It's because he was struggling really bad, but he loves the club and he wanted to come back and try and keep us up in the Premier League. But it was unfortunate that it didn't work out like that last season. So yeah, fair play. Really brutally honest interview with Troy Deeney, and that's what you expect from Troy Deeney. That's what it says on the tin with Troy Deeney, isn't it? So yeah, good to see him back. Really happy.
Yeah, no, completely agree. You know, brilliant interview that he did with the lads, as Ben said, go check it out. But you know, he played against Crystal Palace, that 1-0 defeat the week after the Liverpool game, and he had COVID. He didn't know. And I think the other thing that shocked me was he said that he's not felt fully fit since I think it was the season that he scored 25 goals. So under Sonina. But he's been playing through injuries since that season. So to think that the next season after that, he got 20 goals. And then that first season in the Prem, it took him a while to get going, but I think he got 13 goals or 10 goals in the end. And he got a crazy amount of assists as well. So, you know, to think that he's been playing with those injuries ever since, and people just look past it, which does my head in, to say the least. You know, I think a lot of people forget what he's done for this club. And listen, I genuinely could do a whole podcast on the topic, so I will stop myself there. We made a few more changes as well towards the end of the game. Adam Messina come on for Ken Semmer. I bet Ken Semmer was delighted because he would have been absolutely shattered. And then, James, we did see Ben Wilmot come on, albeit for only 8 minutes, but he come on for Dan Gosling. Fair play to him, man. You see him at the end of the game and he's smiling and shaking hands with everyone. Like, it is hard. And, you know, hopefully it's just a blip and we see him more next season because, you know, talking to Troy Deeney, I always go back to that interview that he did when, funnily enough, we played Swansea in the League Cup last season, and Wilmot was there with the Swansea squad. And I think Troy Deeney said he reminded him of Rio Ferdinand, and that you don't make those sort of comparisons if there's no truth behind it. So hopefully he does get a bit of game time. But 8 minutes isn't really anything to write home about. But James, we obviously know that Andre Gray scored the first goal, and you probably wouldn't have put any money of any sorts on that happening, let's be brutally honest, but especially not the second one. I actually tweeted, I says, I know I've had a lot to drink here, I says, but have we really beaten Swansea, a strong Swansea side, with our second string side, and Andre Gray and Isaac Success are our goal scorers? And I tell you what as well, Success, it wasn't a tap-in, he absolutely belted that. It was a brilliant goal, wasn't it, James?
Oh my god, it was unbelievable. I was going mental. You know, I was doing a watch on YouTube for the game, and you know, we were all watching it, and you know, we were so shocked at that Isaac Success had this in his locker, because I think his last goal was something like 2.5 years ago, which is absolutely mental to think about. I think it might have been.
Was it a header against Bournemouth?
I think it was against Tottenham
in the Carabao Cup.
Yes.
And we played it at the MK Don Stadium, didn't we? Yeah, I think that was his last goal. Obviously, scoring last game of the season. Fantastic strike from Isaac. And, you know, is he going to be here next season? Probably. You know, I know he's struggled a lot with injuries. I think they'll keep him around, Mike, definitely. Me personally, I wouldn't want him, but I think the club spent so much money on him, £12.5 million.
Club record signing, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think they still want. I think they still want that to work out. I mean, I'm not too sure how old he is either. I think he might be 25, 26, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, credit to him, fantastic strike, great way to end off the season as well. And you know, any striker would be proud of that. So credit to him.
He's 25 years old. And he's scored two goals. He's scored two goals for the under 23s last season, but his last goal for the first team was 18-19 season, and then 16-17 season, which is his first season with us, he scored one goal as well. So yeah, his record doesn't exactly scream amazing.
And he scored a few off the pitch as well, didn't he, Mike?
Yeah.
Tell you what, that bottle of Baileys came out last night for him, didn't it?
And probably a cigar as well, man. The guy's just... Do you know what? He just seems like a right character.
Like, probably a few prostitutes as well, probably.
Yeah, I'm sure that would have been. But to be fair to him, he did look like, you know, after that little escapade that he had with the Sun newspaper and that, he did seem like he did knuckle down and really try and work hard to get back fit and everything. So
he looks in good shape now as well, doesn't he? He looks really slim. He looks really toned as well. So, you know, credit to him. He's obviously been working hard. And I know Zisco was talking about him.
That much.
You know, Zisco was talking about him in his post-match press conference as well. So, yeah, I think Isaac's success... Might work out good for Watford, maybe. Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Did you see that quote? I think it was Ryan Gray from Watford Observer reporter. He interviewed Cisco after the game. He asked him, "Does success do that in training?" He says, "Yeah, but he's got bigger goals."
I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Cisco obviously sees something in him, and it's a bit like, you know, Andre Gray, you know, he kept playing him and kept playing him. And, you know, you talk about, can you try and play a player into form? And doesn't always work in that. But, you know, he got his goal yesterday, which I'm sure he'll be delighted about. And who knows if he'll be here next season. But, you know, that got us the win. The full-time whistle blew. We were victors again at Vicarage Road. An incredible season at Vicarage Road it's been. We'll go through the stats in a little bit. But, I mean, the stats of the game: 48.1% possession for Watford, 51.9% for Swansea, 14 shots in total for Swansea, only two on target. They didn't really trouble us at all in the second half. 10 shots for Watford, 3 on target, 3 corners for Watford, 8 for Swansea, 447 passes for Watford and 471 for Swansea. So, another win at home. 30 goals conceded this season. That's the fewest in the club's history. And it equals the Championship's record as well. Who I think it's Preston. Was it you that told me that the other week, Ben?
So yeah, I think it was. I think I also saw that Reading actually did that as well in the season. That they got like over 100 points as well.
05, 06. They were incredible that season. I went through and tried to have a look to see if we'd got the most home wins picked up the most points at home when the last time that was. And I think we've picked up the most home points since the 09-10 season. Newcastle picked up 60 that season. Nottingham Forest picked up 59. And then it went further back to 01-02 with Man City. They picked up 60. And then Norwich picked up 59 as well in 03-04. So, you know, we're holding some good company up there. We really, really are. But it just tops up a brilliant season. I mean, some other stats here. Watford's most points won in the second tier, 91 points. That's the most we won there. Club record for home league wins in the season, 19. As always, thanks to Ben for putting these together. And no club... And I hated how they tweeted this before the bloody game. No club in the Championship did the double over Watford this season, which is incredible. And then yesterday as well, which is another mind-blowing stat and just goes to show off our defensive record, that meant that Backman and Foster had both kept double figures of clean sheets in the Championship this season. I will get round to it. I'm going to have a look if any season... in the past few years, if any other team has had that done. But then again, it would require an injury sort of partway through the season for that to happen to play the amount of games. But it's incredible, isn't it, Ben? Like the records that I've just spoke about there, it just goes to show the togetherness of the team. And it's just been an amazing season. And I think what highlights it more as well, they haven't had fans in there. So it's been even harder for them.
Yeah, it's been really tough for them as well. It goes either way sometimes with fans as well, not having fans in a stadium. Like, it's obviously worked in West Ham's advantage because they're normally on their backs and they've done brilliant this season in the Premier League. But Watford, they tend to rely on the fans, especially when we shoot second half towards the rookery, don't we? That's where we roar behind the boys and get kind of suck that ball into the back of the net in front of a rookery. So, yeah, really tough for them to be playing without fans. But they've done really well this season. And I must say, Cisco's had a lot of plaudits and deservedly right. But I think for us to have this defensive record, a lot of credit needs to go to Vladimir Ivic as well, because he started at the start of the season. He probably set the tone for it. And those kind of foundations have probably just carried on staying. It's just Cisco has maybe given the license to the attacking players to the freedom and like the license to get forward a bit more, but they've still concentrated on having that defensive solidarity at the back. Mm. And it's been outstanding. So, yeah, I think Ivic needs a lot of plaudits for that.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And, you know, yes, it didn't go well in his reign here, but defensively sorted us out. It sort of reminds me of when Sonino came into the club. You know, we were leaking goals after Zola sort of lost the plot. Sonino come in, patched up the defence, wasn't quite the man for us going forward. That 13-14 season, I mean, I personally really enjoyed that season because that was the most time that I'd been to like away games and everything. But like, it was a mid-table finish. And then the next season, we obviously kicked on and, you know, Sonino's help with the defence definitely helped. So, yeah, just moving on to some transfer news. We've obviously talked about this in the last one. And James, I know you did a video on this subject, but we are led to believe by the Italian press that we're in advanced talks to sign Ashley Young as a free agent. He'll leave into this summer and offered a contract to 2022 with an extension of another year. James, I'll hold my hands up here, buddy. I've not watched the video, so I don't know what you've said, but I'm going to guess that you're not best pleased at this because the reaction's been a real mixed bag, I must say, which has quite surprised me.
So my issue isn't actually with Ashley Young himself, because I think he's a fantastic player. He's very, very experienced, obviously, in England with Manchester United, and obviously he's gone out to Italy now as well. Mm-hmm. So my issue is not actually with him. It's just the age and kind of the player we're looking to bring in at the moment and we're getting linked with. They seem to be, you know, coming towards the end of their careers. I saw we were linked with Fernando Llorente as well, who's a 36-year-old striker currently in Italy as well. So the kind of the calibre of player we're getting linked with in terms of age isn't kind of really what I want. I think if we bring Ashley Young in, you know, for a season, as you mentioned, the contract's for a season with the option to extend, I think that'd be a good deal for Watford, because ultimately the aim next season is to finish 17th or above, right? So that's what we've got to aim for. And I think Ashley Young can help us with that, right? Especially with Ashraf Lazar looking to leave, as you mentioned earlier, Mike. So I'd be happy with it as long as we also bring in the right player in the other positions we need to, right? So yeah, I'd be happy with it. Only if we recruit right in other positions as well.
I'm just going to caveat that a little bit. I understand your point with, yes, a lot of people are like, why are we signing players towards the end of career? But have we not seen in the past that those sort of players that we have brought in, Ben Watson, for example, Matthew Connolly, they weren't spring chickens themselves. Look, this season, Dan Gosling, Carlos Sanchez, not youth on their side. And, you know, they won't thank me for saying that, but they've been pivotal this season. Do you think that, Ben? Do you think that it's maybe getting a bit of a harsh reaction because of Ashley Young's age, where actually we've seen, not just this season, but in the past, bringing an experienced head in actually helps the ranks, right?
Yeah, well, the younger players rely on the experience guys, don't they? They look to them and try and get experience from them and learn from them and that. And I think Ashley Young would bring a lot of experience. Like Troy Deeney said, he knows the club inside out, and I think that's going to help him settle into the club straight away as well. But yeah, I think sometimes you need to mix it up with like the youth and the experience. Like James said, I don't want us to bring in Fernando Llorente, the 36-year-old. It's pretty much of a has-been now, isn't he? And playing in the Italian league, which is slow as anything. So yeah, and coming over to the fastest league in the world, isn't it? The Premier League. So yeah, I wouldn't want him to come in, but I think Ashley Young, there's still stuff about him. I'm not sure I'd want him to be a week in, week out starter. And it'd be very harsh to bring him in and take Messina's spot when he's performed so well since he's came back from his injury in like December. His first appearance was at Norwich, wasn't it? Boxing Day.
Yeah.
And he's done fantastic. So yeah, I think it's one of those, isn't it? Like you look at the likes of Burnley, they always bring in like an experienced head into that squad, and it just fits the mould. And it's the type of characters, isn't it, that you bring in. And I think Ashley Young's that type of character that you would bring in who knows the league. He could help you in a relegation battle. Yes, he hasn't done it with his time at Manchester United or Aston Villa, but there's enough about him, and he's done enough in his career to know how to help Watford out of that situation and push him up the table.
Yeah, he's got a winner's mentality as well. You know, look at the titles he's won. He's just won a title over in Italy, won titles with Manchester United as well, won cups with Man U. So, absolutely, yeah. You two have alluded to it. We have also the annual Udinese link has popped up again. So, Fernando Llorente and Stryger Larsson. Now, Larsson has played as a fullback, and he's played 29 times for Udinese this season, scoring twice, whereas Llorente has played 15 times and scored once. And for those that are thinking, I know that name, he used to play for Swansea and Spurs as well, and they're from reports in Italy. I mean, it wouldn't be a transfer window without an Udinese signing link. So who knows if there's any truth to that one. As we've mentioned, congratulations to Tom Cleverley and Georgia Cleverley and Andre Gray and Leanne for they're expecting a baby. And then just before we go on to the questions that you guys have sent in, Tuesday, the 11th of May, Watford will be hosting their end of season ceremony at 7 p.m. on the club YouTube channel. It's going to be hosted by Emma Saunders, and she'll be joined by several first team members of the squad, as well as Tommy Mooney and Andy Collins as well. Just on a side note to that, it's been absolutely incredible this season. The coverage that has been made available to us, you know, you look at the other championship teams and it's just a stream and you get the local radio's commentary. And, you know, to be given what we've been given is absolutely phenomenal. Also, a bit of transfer news as well, which I've just remembered about. Apparently, we've been in contact with Colombia striker Bora. I think I pronounced that right. He's at River Plate at the moment. He's out of contract and could fit in well within the squad and the budget, and that's via Alan Nixon. I think he scored 12 goals for River Plate this season, and he's only just sort of come into form. So it'll be interesting to see what surfaces from that. We usually do go to an ad break, but we're not doing one this time round. There is going to be a new advert next week, so keep your eyes peeled for that one. Probably just let that cat out of the bag as well, that we're going to be doing a podcast next week. So, oopsie. But yeah, we're going to dive straight into the questions. We had some questions last week, which we weren't able to answer, unfortunately. But we're going to hopefully answer some of those now. We'll start with a Watford one. We'll start with a serious one. And Ben, I'll come to you first on this. John Parslow has said, if Tammy Abraham is available for $35 million, do we offload Gray and Success, even for a combined $5 million, and go balls out to get him, or get him on loan with an option to buy? We have Saar as a future sale, 2022, as collateral to fund this. So, Tammy Abraham, is he someone you'd go for? I mean, personally, I'll just say now, his price tag would put me off. But is he something you go with, Tammy Abraham?
I wouldn't worry about the price tag, mate. We spent X amount on Ismail Assar, haven't we?
Yeah.
And he's a young English striker, so it's going to be a lot of money expected to pay for him. But yeah, I really like him. He did fantastic for Aston Villa in the Championship. He's done well in the Premier League with Chelsea. His first season back at Chelsea, fantastic. Couldn't stop scoring, could he? I think he even got in the England squad off the back of that as well. So I would love him to come to Watford. I'd love us to sign him. Is it realistic? Probably not. I think there's better options for him. I think he could probably go to like a Villa or someone like that. I think that would be more of a priority for him over Watford, who just came up from a Championship.
Big risk, isn't it? You know, Hopefully we don't, but if he joined us and then we went straight back down, he'd be in the shit a bit, wouldn't he? James, yeah, he's
on a 5-year contract.
Yeah, we do like to tie those youngsters down to a 5-year contract. So, James, is he someone you'd be happy to get in, or do you agree with
him? Oh, yeah. I mean, of course I'd want him, but I just can't see us splashing that much money on one position straight away just after we've gone up. You've got to remember, when we brought Sarr in, we'd already been in the Premier League for 5 years? So we'd built up them cash reserves to bring Sarr in. And then negotiations, even for Sarr, went on for weeks, I remember. So yeah, that was a difficult deal to get over the line. You know, of course I'd want Tammy Abraham. I think he'd guarantee you probably at least 15 Premier League goals a season, but it looks unlikely, especially with all these free transfers and loans we've been linked to lately. So of course I'd want him. Is it realistic? Probably not.
Yeah, well, we'll stick with you because Ben's just had to nip off to do something. But that question from John Parslow has actually started a little bit of a debate within the comments. A couple saying, Jimbo Jaggins saying he wouldn't come to us. WFCJB has said he's too big for us, in my opinion. Loan, please. Stuart Scullion, I'd prefer Ivan Toney for 40 million, but I agree about getting rid of Gray and Success.
That's even more unrealistic.
I know, yeah. I don't get me started on those links. There'll be much more higher suitors for Ivan Toney next season if they don't go up. And then a dog called Storm. That's the Twitter handle. That's not me just saying. He said, sell whatever we have and buy him in terms of Abraham. So that's quite a statement there, isn't it? We have had one here saying from George White, who's another regular listener, how many of the starting 11 from the Swansea game? Now, I thought this is a bit of a tough question because we did make 6 changes, but maybe he's trying to sort of find out who of the reserves will keep. How many of the starting 11 from the Swansea game will be at the club come the start of next season, James?
Okay, so I've just brought the starting 11 back up in front of me. So we'll go through it one by one.
Yeah,
so
man.
Ben Foster, 1 year left in his contract. I think he'll see that out with us, and I think he'll probably play the role of backup keeper,
yeah,
doing his cycling GK vlog. So I think Ben Foster will stay. Mark Navarro, I don't think will stay. I think he'll leave, especially with obviously Kiko and Jeremy and Gakia being here as well. Cabasele and Cathcart, I think they'll both stay. Ashraf Lazar, you mentioned earlier, Mike, from The Athletic, they confirmed, didn't they, that it looked like he wouldn't be given a contract this season. Mm-hmm. So it looks like Lazar will be leaving anyway. Carlos Sanchez, I would like to see stay for another year. I was very, very critical about him when he first came in. Again, for me, it was just an age issue. But actually seeing him play, I think he's been absolutely fantastic. So I'd like to see Carlos Sanchez play. Dan Gosling and Philip Zincargo, of course, they'll stay. And then you get to Isaac Success and Andre Gray, where I think Andre Gray will stay. Isaac Success, possibly not. I think a loan would benefit him definitely, maybe to another Championship club.
Yeah.
And Andre Gray, as I mentioned, I think should stay. And Ken Semmer, of course, will probably be one of our starting players next season. So for me, I mean, there's quite a few there who I'd like to see stay, actually.
Yeah, and to be honest, I there's not any on that. I'd probably disagree with Carlos Sanchez. Yes, you know, there were a lot of critical people and he's proved a lot of people wrong, which again, we're all happy about. He's got experience in the division. You know, he's played there for West Ham. He's played for Aston Villa as well. So, you know, he's got experience. Dan Gosling as well. I don't know if you mentioned him, but again, experience in the Premier League.
Crucial goals as well this season. You know, especially that goal against Norwich, Mike. I thought that was a really crucial goal for, you know, in terms of that promotion race as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, even one of his goals against Rotherham as well, you know, we could have made that very, very difficult for ourselves. Because don't forget as well, yes, we won 4-1, I think it was, in the end. They had a penalty saved. And, you know, if he doesn't score straight after, because they scored and then we went up the other end and scored straight away. If that doesn't happen, then, you know, you just never know. So we'll look back on some of these goals and be like, that was key, that was key, that was crucial. So, yeah, I don't think there's many from that starting 11, other than the obvious ones, Lazar, as you say. Navarro definitely won't be. The only one I'd say 50-50 on is Isaac Success. he's 25 now. Yes, he's still young. I mean, I'm 25, so listen, I'm all for it being young at 25, not a problem. But is he, if we're loaning him out at 25 to another Championship side, is he going to have much of a career with us left? It remains to be seen. So I don't know. That's the only one I don't know about. Andre Gray, I think, will stay. It'll be interesting to see what we do with him next season, actually, because I do think we need to get a striker in. This one also can sort of relate to you, James, because obviously you do the wonderful work that you do at the Watford Way. Caroline's asked one of the questions, and she said, WD18 have had some fantastic interviews with current players this year, and Voices of the Vic have done similar with past legends. My question is, if you could interview any Watford player, past or present, who would it be and why? And what would be the first question you would ask? Now, that is a tough question. I'll throw you under the bus and let you go first. I'm the host. Well, I can do that.
Yeah, thank you for your question, Caroline. As Mike said, it's very, very tough. For me, so my favourite ever Watford player is Odion Ighalo. He's kind of the first player, really, that I properly fell in love with. Yeah. The goals he scored, you know, I loved his celebration. That was so iconic. He pointed his fingers up to the sky. I loved it. So he's the person I would interview. What would I ask him? What would I ask him? What did he have for breakfast? I don't know.
it's a tough one to open.
I'd probably ask him the meaning behind his celebration and what he's thinking at that time, because, you know, you tend to find with footballers and their celebrations that they can have deeper meanings. So I'd probably ask him something to do with that. But I think Odion Ighalo is a great guy. I'd love to see him come back. Obviously, that's the most unrealistic thing that would ever happen. But he's in Saudi Arabia at the moment.
I was going to say, he must be earning some big bucks over there as well.
Yeah, what about you, Mike?
I would... it's a tough one. I mean, one of my favourite players growing up, obviously, I will have seen a few more seasons to yourself because of the age difference. But I really, really... liked Alex Chamberlain. He didn't play much when I first started going. He was the goalkeeper, I think, because I was only 6 years old. The promotion season in 05-06, I seem to remember, obviously Ben Foster was a keeper all season, but I seem to remember going to Welham Road once for the game against Leeds, and Ben Foster got sent off. So Alex Chamberlain had to go in goal, and he made a handful of appearances. I think he played against Brighton as well when Chris Eagle scored from the halfway line at the Withdean Stadium. But I would say Alex Chamberlain for me. And in terms of the first question, I don't know whether I'd want to be humorous with it or I'd want to be quite deep and meaningful with it. It's a really tough one. I would probably ask him his favourite Watford memory, although I think I know what that would be. That's definitely that.
I think that's a bit of a cheaty answer, Mike.
No, it's not cheaty. It's an easy one as an interviewer.
Safe question.
Ben's joined back at the right time, ladies and gents, for those that are listening audio and not visual. Ben, one of the questions we've had is, I'll read the question out in full from Caroline. She said, WD18 have done some fantastic interviews with current players this year, and Voices of the Vic have done similar with past legends. My question is, if you could interview any Watford player, past or present, who would it be and why? And what would your first question be? Now, mine was Alex Chamberlain, as you've just heard. James's was Odion Ighalo.
Oh, that's a good one, James. I like that.
Tough one, isn't it?
One of my favourite Watford players in the last 10 years has been Fernando Forestieri. I love him. He's a little magician. So I would want to ask him what it was like growing up on like the streets of Argentina, playing football in the streets. I want to try and understand what the culture would be over in Argentina, because watching him play, like, at times it was like he was our very own Messi, wasn't he? And I think that's where he got his name from, Fessy, when you put them together. So I'd want to know about his backstory in Argentina. And I was a bit gutted when we was linked with him last summer. He was actually training at Watford at London Colney. I was ready to get him on the back of my shirt, I'm not gonna lie. And then he ended up getting a switch over to Udinese. So I hope he possibly comes back one day, because he is one of my favourites, Pozzo signings and Watford players in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So yeah.
might have a problem with the language barrier because I don't think he speaks very good English, from what I understand.
He speaks a better English now because he had a spell over at Sheffield Wednesday, didn't he? 2-3 years after us. His English has actually got better. I've heard him do a few interviews. It's not great, but look, I'll have an interpreter. I'll listen to him.
One thing about Fessy is when he was at Sheffield Wednesday, he wore Watford shin pads still. So I really do love that guy.
Love that.
I do love that. Kiko's is the best. It's a picture of Guards with him playing for Alaves. So God is behind him because he's quite religious. The Spanish are quite religious.
I didn't know God played for Alaves.
No. So there's a picture of Guards, and then there's a picture of Kiko on the shin pad as well playing for Alaves. So that they're quite cool. One of the questions from James Hurst, another regular listener: are Jaffa cakes a cake or a biscuit? And what place does Zinchenko hold in the squad next season? James, let's start with you. I'll go first. Sorry, Jaffa cakes are a cake, not a biscuit, because it's got like jelly inside it or whatever it is.
Sponge,
yeah, exactly. And then Zinchenko, I think next season he will flourish in a pace like the Premier League, more time on the ball and everything like that. I think he'll flourish next season. He will get the most assists next season for us. Mark my words, 9th of May, 7:07. You heard it here first, James.
I'll start with the Jaffa Cakes, Mike. Okay, yeah. So in my house, the Jaffa Cakes go in the biscuit cupboard. So for me, Jaffa Cakes are a biscuit. And Philip Zinchenko, next season, unfortunately for him, I think he'll only be a bit part player. Not due to his quality or anything. I just think that seeing Zisco persist with the midfield, he's persisted with towards the end of the season, Dan Gosling, Cleverley, Chalobah Hughes, them four have definitely been the more consistent ones out of the five of them. I just can't see him potentially starting week in, week out, unfortunately. But I think he'll be one of them players who he can work himself into the team. So I think he could get to that stage. But I think to start with, he'll be a bench player, bring on, to potentially make an impact.
It's very interesting, Ben.
Jaffa cake's a cake. It's in its name. Jaffa cake. It's not Jaffa biscuit, is it? To be honest.
We cut to the chase on this podcast. Bang on, that is.
Bang on. I tell you what, I reckon I could eat a whole pack of Jaffa cakes in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Even less, maybe. I absolutely love them. Demolish them. How do you eat yours weirdly? I know I do.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say. I do.
Pepperoni edges.
Yeah. And then the top. You
take off the top bit.
Yeah.
What?
So then you've got the sponge taken away from the actual, and you eat the sponge, and then the last bit you have the orange.
I do it in one. It goes in one. James,
do you do the whole moon, half moon, total eclipse?
No, I don't even do that. I literally eat it in one.
Nah, yeah, come on, mate. It's like with the Oreos. You have to dismantle it, eat it that way, and then do that. I bet you're this type of guy, James. You know, Kit Kat bars, the four individual bars.
Yeah.
You don't break them off individually. You bite through the whole fucking thing, don't you?
potentially. We'll discuss that another day.
Yeah, we will. Ben, Zinchenko next season. What you saying, brother?
I must say, I feel like he's getting a lot of criticism the last few weeks as well, because his performances haven't been as great. And you've got to think, he's playing out of position for a Watford team in centre midfield. He's not a centre midfielder. He's a winger or a number 10. And because of our injuries in midfield with Chalobah, Cleverley, he's had to play in the middle. He played there for a few games when he first signed, and he did all right, like Rotherham away. Really good performance. But I feel like it's catching up with him a little bit now. I want to see him flourish over on the right. For next season, I agree with James. I think he's going to be a bit of a bit part player, but I do think, agree with you as well, Mike, where I do think he could get a lot of assists for him. And I think the Premier League would probably suit him a bit better as well, because we saw how well his debut was at Old Trafford as well against Premier League players. It was outstanding for a man who he signed about 3-4 days before, only had one or two training sessions, turned up to Old Trafford, and a Man United fan as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
And and he put on that performance as well. And he was like, we've got some player on our hands here. And it was phenomenal. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Prem. I just hope he sees more game time and he's actually played in his right position.
Yeah, definitely. I think that is pivotal. And it's going to be interesting to see what formation we go with next season as well. But, yeah,
Part
I just think...
probably.
Yeah, I just think considering we spent so much on him and, you know, the hype surrounding him, it'd be a bit of a anti-climax if he never really played or was a bit part player next season. Hopefully we're all, you know, hopefully he does get games and those assists keep racking up. Last two questions for this week, and then there is two, there is two more I want to ask from last week as well. So the final two for this week, we've already answered one of them, but I'm going to shout her out anyway because she's asked a question. Sonia Wright asked us our thoughts on signing Ashley Young. So we've done a nice little segment for you on that, Sonia. And then we've also had a question, to say, have you ever been on a blind date? And if so, what was it like? Now, I won't go into dev, but there's been a few dates I've been on where I wish I was blind. But I think that's as far as we'll take that one. That's coming from Stuart Spurring, who's also he's had some nice things to say about the podcast in the last few weeks. So and also as well, before we get on to the last two questions, the messages that we've had from fans, like thanking us for the thanking us, that's tickled you, that hasn't it, Ben?
Yeah, I'm still going.
Yeah. The feedback that we've got from you guys, like, has been absolutely superb. Obviously, everyone thanking everyone for the content that's been put out, considering we've not been able to be in, and there's so much fan content out there at the moment. So massive thank you to that. And then the other two questions I wanted to ask from the other week, I'm going to give a generic answer to this one because I don't want to single anyone out. Elliot Murray actually said favorite member of WD18. I think he asked that because Jacobs went to be on. I'll just go down the middle and say everyone, and that way there's no problems there. And then we'll end it on a
I can't believe you've done that, Mike. You bottled that.
No, mate, it's you keep everyone.
Elliot went out his way to ask the question, and you just going straight down the middle. James, we want an answer, don't we?
I tell you what, though, Elliot is probably one of the most well-spoken, polite-mannered person I've ever heard in my life.
Got to agree with that.
Yeah, he's just... That's not to say the others aren't, but that it's just the way he comes across. He's like the most polite bloke
ever.
He's
digging himself into a hole now, Ben, isn't he?
He's just
you just offended the other three members.
Nah, they're all good guys within their own right. And you've offended them by saying other three members. There's four, isn't there? Other four members. There's Jacob, Sam, Elliot, and...
Shane.
Anyway.
You need to go back to school and start talking.
Yeah. Yeah, Jesus. Last question from another regular listener, Chris. He said, since moving from Buckinghamshire to Lincolnshire, I've encountered curry sauce and gravy on chips. What do you prefer on yours? Curry sauce on chips all day, every week, twice on a Sunday. Ben, you're shaking your head. You're gravy, man.
Gravy all day long, mate.
I'm Northern.
I think I was about 18. I went on holiday to Turkey, and it's all they put on their chips over there. And it's because of all the Northerners that you get coming over from England. They just request it. They're like, gravy and chips, gravy and chips. And then, yeah, absolutely fantastic. I think we've done a couple of away games before. I think I went to Trafford or something on a Tuesday night or something, and I managed to get gravy and chips on the outside, and I took it in the ground, and we all had it. And yeah, love gravy and chips, man, all day long. I could have that for dinner every night.
They're probably expecting that answer from me, because the gravy and chips is certainly something you associate with Northern people. James, have you got a preference, curry sauce?
Yeah, sorry to disappoint you, Mike, but it's gravy for me, unfortunately, mate.
I'm a fake Northerner by the looks of it. That's poor from me, but no, I just, curry sauce is different. I've not had dinner yet, by the way. It's got me wanting to go down to the chippy. Not that it'll be open because it's Sunday evening, but yeah, that's the podcast, like it does most times, has left me very, very hungry. So yeah, those are the questions. Thanks so much for getting those questions in. Sorry it took so long to get answered. And to be honest, we haven't even answered all of them. We'd love to answer them all. But this is the final podcast of us talking about a game. So in terms of that, we want to thank you all for tuning in. You may have seen on YouTube, we're obviously doing the whole visual thing today. We're going to be doing that hopefully more often for next season when we're back in the Premier League. Anyone that's listened, like, it almost sounds like this part's pre-recorded because I say it so much, but genuinely, the figures that we're pulling out at the moment, and that's not me trying to blow smoke up our arses or anything, but the figures that we're pulling out at the moment, with me and Ben sort of sit there and we're like, what? Like, how many people have listened to that? So we want to thank every single one of the listeners. And like I said, because it was the end of the season, notice, you know, we put a few thank you messages out. I noticed a lot of other Watford fans did as well. And it was great to see how many people actually, we are part of their routine, whether it's walking a dog, going for a bike ride. Ben, we often joke, we often talk about that time that bloke was listening to us cooking his Christmas dinner. Like, that's absolutely crazy.
It's mental, isn't it?
It is mental, but like, the support has been absolutely phenomenal. It's the first full season that we've done the podcast. We've not hit a year yet. That's next month on the 13th. So we'll try and do something special for that. We have got a couple of other things that we are going to be doing over the next couple of weeks that will be released in due course, and we'll tweet about it and everything. We are going to be doing a bit of an end of season sort of review, aren't we, Ben? We can talk about that, can't we?
Yeah. What we're going to do is, it's quite similar to what we did in the Christmas special. So we're going to do our own awards. I know Watford are doing their awards Tuesday night. I know WDE18 are doing their awards tonight. I think Jacob messaged me earlier saying he was recording it now. So yeah, Voices of the Vic are going to do their own as well. So we'll be doing that. We'll get some fans maybe to send in, get you involved, send like 2 minutes clip in of who you thought the player of your season was, who was your goal of the season, young player of the season. We'll put in some funny categories as well. Mike's funniest saying or something. Or yeah, we'll do something fun.
There's plenty of them, Ben, mate.
we could do a whole series, couldn't we, James? But yeah, and we'll probably get James back on as well, our third member, our third wheel. It's been great to have him on this season. I must say, we're saying thank you for all the support that we've had this season, but thank you for all the guests that's came on as well. We've had all the WDE18 boys. James has came on probably double figures now. He's came on, he's been fantastic and just fitted in like he's known us for years. And really, I didn't know who James Batchelor was a year ago. I knew about Watford Way, but I didn't know who James was. And James is a fantastic little gentleman. Wears Guy Liner now and again, I heard earlier. He
should have better get it ready. We're on camera tonight.
Take it serious then, sure.
So yeah, fantastic having all these guests on as well, to be in a position to get guests on. And yeah, me and Mike might have a guest lined up. We're recording midweek. We won't say who it is, but we do have a guest that we're actually interviewing Thursday, isn't it, Mike?
Thursday morning. Yeah, man. I'm really, really buzzing for that one. As we say, we're not saying anything yet. I know, yeah. Need to pull my finger out my ass. I won't let the cat out of the bag on that one yet. We'll tweet closer to the time, as close as we can. But yeah, it's I echo everything that Ben said. Massive thanks to you, James, obviously, for coming on. You know, we've not even met you, so you know, obviously, when next season, when hopefully the grounds are back, you know, we'll have to meet up and everything. And massive thanks to WD18 guys, as Ben said, 100% record they had, all four that come on to discuss four wins. Fanzine, the Golden Fanzine, Tom from the Golden Fanzine. Fantastic. As well. Absolutely brilliant guy. Ryan Gray from the Watford Observer. Josh Wilkins, who runs the WFC Snapshots account as well. Joe Wilmot as well, yep.
And Wilmot's brother.
Absolutely superb. Like, we cannot thank them enough. One mention I did want to say just before we ended as well, because I forgot to tweet this, and this will divide the room because they get a lot of stick on Twitter. Massive thanks to the second tier podcast as well, because they, you know, to be involved with them when they really are sort of... quite a few podcasts to pick from, and they could have very easily gone elsewhere and everything to include us, and like they have done. So big thanks for those guys as well. And like I said to Ryan, who hosted it the last time, I says, hopefully I won't have to speak to you for some time in the nicest way possible. But yeah, no, it's been an absolute whirlwind. Like I say, you know, me and Ben have got a couple of things lined up in the next couple of weeks. And then I think I speak on behalf of Ben as well. We're looking forward to a nice break. You know, you guys have put up with my whining Brummie accent for the whole season. So I'm looking forward to a nice little break, recharge the batteries, and then we'll be back. We'll be back after a couple of weeks' time, and we'll be talking about the Premier League. The fixtures are out on the 16th of June, I believe it is. So yeah, it's been absolutely amazing. We cannot thank you enough, honestly, like from the bottom of our hearts. We're absolutely appreciative of it all. Hope you have a very, very good week. Stay safe. The end line in terms of coronavirus is almost there. Stay safe. Keep close to your loved ones as well. And come on, you ones. Next time we will be reviewing a match. It will be Premier League time, baby. Woo!
Sports Social Podcast Network.